I mean, do sit down, and you might like to turn back to your Bibles there. Mark chapter 1. As we continue our little walk through the book of Mark, and this little book, one sense, seems fairly insignificant, really, in the whole of the Bible, but it is, I'm sure, a very significant book, one worth reading for ourselves. There are some copies down at the back if you'd like to grab one to take home with you. But one we're going to look at together as a church, and hopefully learn much more about who Jesus is and what it was that he came to do. So Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 40 this morning. Now, it won't have passed your notice if you've been watching TV or had the radio on in the last few days at least. You'll know the nation of Egypt is the latest in a series of North African countries to find itself deep in crisis this morning after days of rioting on the streets. And it's all been focused, hasn't it, against the government there and the president especially. We're told this is a popular uprising against a deeply unpopular regime. And it follows on from more or less the same kind of trouble that's been in Tunisia, just sort of a bit further along the coast there on the Mediterranean. And then Algeria, that was last weekend where the protests and the riots happened. And, you know, in all these places, and many more places besides, I think the issue that's at the heart of what's going on there is one of freedom. Isn't it? It's about political freedom and religious freedom, freedom to work for a decent wage, freedom to buy fuel for our homes and food for our tables and the other essentials in life. And those freedoms over the years in those places have been sort of gradually ebbing away until such point where the people have said enough is enough. And they've been turning out on the streets to overturn their governments, oppressive regimes who've been restricting the lives of the people and limiting the choices they have to make. And Tunisia, a couple of weeks ago, that all changed, didn't it, with the fall of the president there, and maybe in Egypt they're talking about the same thing perhaps happening there as well. And freedom, as I was saying earlier, or the lack of it, is the issue really in front of us today. Not national freedom, but that of an individual. He's a man who lives alone. He's an outcast. He lives outside the village that he used to call home. Because he's a leper. And so he leads a life in confinement. He's restricted in every sense of the word. And life in captivity like that really is a horrible place to be. And it's the focus of this next little episode in the first chapter of Mark's book. Now remember how we're right at the start of Jesus in his public ministry, how we've seen him in action. He's been teaching, he's been healing, he's been driving out demons. But the thing that's stuck in people's minds, the thing they've been talking about, the thing that Jesus has been talking about is, the amazing way he taught people. People have seen rabbis come and go. But here is Jesus being different. This was new, a new kind of teaching. He's got authority, they say, not like our teachers of the law. Here's someone who's speaking with the authority of God himself. Now, last week we saw, didn't we, Jesus in the morning getting mobbed by the sick people of Capernaum. That was in the evening, wasn't it? In the evening, he got mobbed by all those sick people from Capernaum. They all came to the house and they all needed healing. And then the next morning, Jesus sort of did a disappearing act. He went off, didn't he, to pray. And his friends came to find him. Jesus, we need you to come back because there's loads more people that need healing. But Jesus set the agenda differently. He had other priorities. He said we must go to other places, other towns and villages, so that he could preach there also. For that's why he'd come. And so it's as they've gone off to other places that we come to our first point today. And the man freed from your sickness. You see, as they travel on, Jesus meets this man with leprosy. And let's remind ourselves of that meeting, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Well, it's an easy scene to sort of picture in our minds, isn't it? Jesus going one way and the leper sort of coming the other, and they meet. And, well, the leper would be pretty obvious, of course, dressed in a certain way. His skin would have been horribly disfigured by this disease. And most telling, I guess, he'd been walking alone. He wouldn't have been with a friend, because lepers lived a life in solitary confinement. No one wanted to be the friend of a leper. It was a highly contagious disease. There was no known cure. And so here was a man who knew what it was to live every day on the outside of life. In fact, in those days, he had a duty to stay outside. It was written in the Old Testament law, if you caught this particular disease. It tells us all about it in Leviticus, one of the Old Testament books, all about the law. And these words, which I'll just read from chapter 13. "The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes. He must let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp." So do you see, for a Jewish person, this was the requirement. If you caught this disease, this was the law, as far as you were concerned, a legal requirement to live in isolation. And considered unclean, and that meant the temple and the village and other places were really off limits. Lepers were to wear their torn clothes and keep the hair long as a visual symbol that they were to be avoided. And they were to cover their face and then shout out to the passers-by, just in case you'd not notice them. Then you'd know, wouldn't you, to move across to the other side of the road and give them a wide berth for fear of catching this awful disease for yourself. I guess in some ways they were only sensible precautions in this law. The only safe way of stopping the spread of the disease, like we might get put into an isolation ward in a hospital these days if we get diagnosed with something contagious. If we come back from holiday with something pretty nasty, we might get put in a side room, mightn't we, until we're back to full health. But you see the difference. Living outside the camp will stop others getting sick, but it won't make you any better. Isolation wards still have doctors and nurses. They're still places of to be put back right, aren't they? It's a temporary home while we get better. But you see, living outside the camp won't make you better. It wasn't really a place of hope. It was a place really of captivity. You were stuck there. You couldn't get out. I suppose that these days those kind of people might be the sort of people we might meet sat on a park bench as they take in a few cans of special brew. I don't know if you've seen that kind of people as you pass by. Maybe the sort of people that sit in a shop doorway with a cardboard box around them asking if we've got any spare change. You know the kind of people I'm talking about. Stuck in life, they can't get out from that particular station. Certainly not the kind of people we'd often stop and talk to, and not the sort of person we really want to shake hands with. Just like the lepers in Jesus' day, even in our modern world, some people still find themselves living outside the rest of society. And I guess our first reaction to most of these folks is to, like they would all those years ago, to cross over and give them a wide berth. And you see, that's where we see Jesus doing something a bit different this morning. He doesn't cross over, but he stops to talk. It's the leper who's first to speak as he gets down on his knees. He's pretty desperate, obviously. Wouldn't you be, I guess, at what's happened? Years of living as an outcast, years of living in captivity. So, well, his reaction is no surprise, is it? He came to him and begged him on his knees, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." You see, the leper has seen in Jesus what others might have missed. There is potential here for a cure. There's potential here for freedom. But you see, there's no doubt in the leper's mind about Jesus' power. Curing him isn't beyond what Jesus can do. He doesn't say, "Jesus, you might be able to help me, but you can. You can make me clean." The leper is convinced of Jesus' power to heal him. Instead, he doesn't appeal to his power, he appeals to his willingness. If you are willing, you can make me clean. I guess for those looking on who are watching the encounter, there's quite a lot at stake here, really, isn't there? They'd be keeping a safe distance, of course, not wanting to get too close. And they know their own health would be at risk if they did. But they'd stay at the distance for another reason too, because they'd want to keep themselves ceremonially clean. You see, being clean was a necessary condition for going off to the temple. And if you became unclean by touching some unclean meat or an unclean animal, well, you'd have to stay away until such times as you had been declared clean once again. How did that happen? Well, you'd go through a prescribed pattern of cleaning, of ritual cleansing, elaborate washing ceremonies and sacrifices. You know, like we might have a shower before we come to church in the morning. That kind of getting clean before God. It was all prescribed by the priest. You'd go through the ceremony and then he would declare you clean and let you come back to the temple, allow you back inside. And so we see here Jesus stepping forward and doing what no one else that day was prepared to do. They wouldn't dare do. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. He declares his willingness to help and almost commands the sickness away again. We see that authority, don't we, in action. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." So you see a word from Jesus speaking with authority. The leprosy leaves him. The physical restoration is just instantly cured, doing for the leper what no one else could do, granting him his freedom, in a sense giving him his life back, his liberty, opening up the way for his reintegration into community life. That morning the leper left home as a captive, but he returns in freedom. Meeting Jesus means he's been freed from his sickness. It shows us something, doesn't it, about the way God brings people back to himself, doesn't it? A willingness to act, a power to restore, bringing us freedom for the things that are holding us back or lifting us up when we get ourselves stuck, like the thing that was stuck in the mud. Sometimes that'll be physically putting us back on track, but it'll often be in other ways. I guess the thing is, sometimes we don't realise how stuck we are. Sometimes it's obvious, isn't it? You know, like if we were to go to Meadow Hall and get stuck in a lift halfway up, it'd be obvious, wouldn't it? We'd know we were stuck, and we'd just sort of wait patiently until somebody else came along to rescue us, to get us out. But people who are stuck away from God are sometimes much less obvious. They don't go around with a big neon sign on them or sort of holding a placard, "I'm stuck." It doesn't work like that, does it? And so our task as a church is to help people realize perhaps when they are stuck, and then to invite them to come to Jesus, because he's the one who can get them unstuck. He's the one who can give them back their freedom. He's the one who can help them really live. Again, in the case of the leper, it was a physical thing, but it could equally be something else. It could be problems at home, problems with money that we're stuck with. It could be an addiction or perhaps a mental illness, something else that's stopping us live. When Jesus came along, the leper, he got his life back, didn't he? I guess that's really what God wants for all of us, isn't it? To bring us back, to restore us, to set us free. And so to each of us today, God says, "I am willing to set you free, willing to embrace you, willing to bring you back home again." Well, that brings us on this morning to our second point, as the leper is freed from his sin. You see, having set this fella free from his leprosy, Jesus could have just gone on his way. They could have departed, and that would have been the end of the matter. But Jesus isn't quite done. He's got there's a bit more to come, and it's there in the second half of the reading. Verse 43, Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." You see, there's a bit more. The instructions or the orders from Jesus. Keep quiet about this and go and see the priest. Seems a pretty strange thing to say, doesn't it? To keep quiet about what's happened, the miracle that we've just witnessed. But rather than tell people about it, rather than make a public fuss, Jesus knows there's more restoration to be done. And that's going to involve the leper doing what he's not been able to do for a very long time. He's off to visit the temple. As we've already said, the temple would have been off limits for anyone who was sick or who had a disease. The door was firmly shut. Unclean were to stay well outside. Now, access to the temple didn't just mean you'd miss out on singing a few songs and, a talk from the vicar and a nice cup of tea at the end. There was more to it than that. The point of the temple was that you were meeting not only with the people, you were meeting with God himself. It was a place where you praised God, of course, the place where you prayed to God, the place where you listened to God as the scriptures were read and explained. But much more than that, the temple was the place that you could get yourself right with God. It was the place in the presence of God you could be released from your failures and find hope and forgiveness. It was the place where you could be freed from your sins. And you see, that's the reason for Jesus ordering the man to go there, to visit the temple, to see the priest, so that his restoration could be made complete, his whole self set free, so that those in the temple might see what's happened. The healed leper was to go and get cleaned up, embark on this pattern of ritual cleansing, make the right sacrifices. The priest would then examine him and declare him a man who is now clean. He'd be free to take his place once again within the community of God's people, no longer outside and excluded, no longer confined to that life of solitude, back home with God's people and back home with God. Jesus' healing freed him from his sickness, and now at the temple, he's freed from his sin. I guess that again, we need to see how God in his wisdom sort of provides restoration for the whole person. It's not just enough just to make us well, because there's a greater need to be forgiven and brought back into community, to live as the people of God. You see, freedom from his sickness is only half the story. He needs freedom from his sin. And so that's what happens. The whole person is restored physically and spiritually, brought back from being far off and outside. Here he is, brought back into the heart of temple life, in God's presence, back in community as the forgiven family of God. Of course, that's why we always here at St. Thomas's on a Sunday morning, we have a time of confession, because that is a time of restoring, not only restoring our relationship one with another, it's restoring our relationship with God. And so that's why we always begin with a time of dealing with our sin and having that put back right. And I guess a lesson for us this morning is in the way we reach out and bring people back. It's not enough just to make people feel better about themselves by caring for their physical needs. We might start there by being friendly and caring and compassionate. Great things to do and all part of living together as the people of God. But like Jesus, we need to be looking at the whole person, restoring them on the inside as well by bringing them back to God. The leper was someone who knew how horrible it was to be excluded and isolated and cut off. He knew what it was to be a captive in his own home, away from his family and friends. And more importantly, he knew what it was to live a life without God, without the presence of God. He's a great example of someone who understands what Jesus is about. He knows his own great needs. He sees in Jesus one who can restore his fortunes. And so he comes and asks for help that day. And in an act of great grace and compassion, those words from Jesus, "I am willing, willing to help you, willing to set you free, to give you a hope, to give you a future, willing to touch you and pick you up and restore you in community." Now, Mark hasn't yet told us how that will be, how Jesus will become the answer to that forgiveness that all of us need to find. But as he fleshes out what good news is really all about, we get a glimpse here of what Jesus has come to do, freeing people, as we read in Isaiah, freeing the captives from physical and emotional things, all the things that hold us back, and opening us up so we can live once again. What does that mean for me and for you? Well, it's good news, isn't it? I hope it's good news. Good news that wherever we are, however we might feel stuck this morning, however far we might feel away from God, well, he wants to set us free from all the things that hold us back. And so it's got to be good news, hasn't it? Like the leper, all we need do is ask, please God, if you're willing, will you set me free? Let's pray together.